Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O King, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body. The trees are the hairs of his body. And the omnipotent air is his breath. The passing ages are his movements, and his activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Purport. The personality of Godhead is not a dead stone, nor is he inactive, as is poorly thought by some schools. He moves with the progress of time. Krishna is progressive. He moves with the progress of time, and therefore he knows all about the past and future, along with his present activities. There is nothing unknown to him. The conditioned souls are driven by the reactions of the modes of material nature, which are the activities of the Lord. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.12, the modes of nature act under his direction only, and as such, no natural functions are blind or automatic. The power behind the activities is the supervision of the Lord, and thus the Lord is never inactive, as is wrongly conceived. The Vedas say that the Supreme Lord has nothing to do personally, as is always the case with superiors, but everything is done by his direction. As it is said, not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. In the Brahma Sanghita 5.48, it is said that all the universes and the heads of them, the Brahmas, exist only for the duration of his breathing period. The same is confirmed here. The air on which the universes and the planets within the universes exist is nothing but a bit of the breath of the unchallengeable Virat Purusha. So even by studying the rivers, the trees, the air and passing ages, one can conceive of the personality of Godhead without being misled by the formless conception of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that those who are much inclined to the formless conception of the Supreme Truth are more troubled than those who can intelligently conceive of the personal form. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Semade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Chodavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'm just seeing we have some more Hare Krishna, some more devotees who came. This is very nice when devotees come together. I think a temple like this one begins to get fresh energy. I know how it is in Goloka Dham. we're living with the rain and with the deer and with the few devotees who are there. Then when there is a festival, we feel, oh, this is really life in the temple. This is what we are meant for. So it's nice that you have all followed the call. A call for a deeper relationship with Krishna, and I wish to do my best to encourage you to go into, deeper into this. Let us again study the verse. Can you please help me? This? Oh yes, here, 33. O King, O devotees, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body, the veins. The trees are the hairs of his body, and the omnipotent air is his breathing, his breath. The passing ages are his movements, and his activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Here is some understanding of Krishna, which usually in our movement we do not really think so much about. It is called the first step in God realization. Usually, we Hare Krishnas always want to take the highest step at first, and if it doesn't work, we become frustrated. Not very often we have a very systematic approach in our spiritual evolution. Here is a very systematic approach. It is starting to see God in what you can see, not what you hope to see, but what you can actually see. And that is the nature around you. When a devotee sees rivers, he can see with his spiritual vision that these are actually the veins of Krishna. When the devotee sees trees standing in the forest, he can understand, oh, these trees are the hairs on the body of the Lord. When he feels the air coming and going, he can understand this is the breathing of Krishna. And as he gets older, the hairs fall out of his head, or he gets wrinkles on his skin. He can understand the ages are passing. These are the movements of Krishna. And when he sees the world of the modes of material nature playing, in other words, if there's happiness or if there is distress, he can understand these are also activities of Krishna. A God-conscious person or Krishna-conscious person should learn to see Krishna now. Should see, learn to see Krishna here. Most of you have heard this already, but I want to repeat it again. After a South India tour, Prabhupada went with his devotees to an ashram of his god brother, which was situated near the ocean. And he asked his devotees to go every day to take a bath so that they could become more healthy. They were exhausted after traveling. I do not know if you have ever been on these South Indian beaches. Oh, they're so beautiful. There is so much nice sand, and there are palm trees, and the sun is very pleasant, and the breathe of the air is very wonderful. Last year, or was it the year before last year, I think it was that, we went with a group of devotees in the sacred hills of the Kulachatri mountains, and afterwards we visited the beach on our way back to the airport, and we took a swim in the ocean. It's very nice, these soft rolling waves, and we also were touched by some fishes in the ocean. Oop! And it was very nice, very beautiful. And you would lie down on the back and look towards the beach, and you would see endless an ocean of palm trees waving happily in the breeze. It was a very nice vision. And so a devotee went amongst the devotees. There was one verklempter, someone a little bit, tensed inside. And he came out of the ocean and was disturbed. And he went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, isn't this Maya? It's so nice, isn't it Maya?" It's like tourism. Prabhupada asked, "Where is Maya? The ocean is the belly of the Lord. The palm trees are the hairs of the cosmic form of the Lord, and the sun is the eye of Krishna. Where is Maya? There is only Krishna." And as I grow older in my spiritual life, I can see why the scriptures and the acharyas turn our head a little way from the material energy by turning it on the material energy. By looking at the nature in a Krishna conscious way, you will actually be able to perceive Krishna. I'm a reader of Satsvarup Maharaj's books, and I very much remember one of his books called Journals and Diaries, poems, I believe, three books. And there he describes about his nature walks and how he practices to see Krishna within the nature. It's a very, very nice meditation. I know of one writer who made walks every day, and he said on his walks he wanted to always discover one new thing. So I think we can, and by this he wanted to become a little bit more conscious and a little bit more alert. I think we can also do this as we walk into the nature, or if we go with our car to Leash to do some shopping for the temple and we pass through the nature, we should try every day to see one new smile of Krishna in the nature, one new aspect of Krishna. See, before you can become Krishna conscious, you must become conscious. If you sleep and your attention is not tuned in, how will you recognize the Lord? I remember this when I first came to the temple and the devotees told me, "The Lord is on the altar." I was so unconscious that when I looked on the altar, I actually only could see flowers. I said, "You have a nice flower arrangement here, but what does this have to do with the Lord, please?" He said, no, "Look again, you will see." And I slowly began to see something of the Lord. So, as you go through the nature, don't see just flowers or trees. Try to become conscious to see the Lord on the altar of nature. waiting for you. Only for a very unconscious person, the Lord is covered by the veil of material nature and not visible. But if you try to look through the eyes of the law of the scriptures, you will be able to become a little bit conscious. Try to make this exercise to see one new aspect of Krishna each day. It's a very good exercise to become conscious. What do you think, Dharanidhara? It's a good. You must try to become a little bit conscious. Very important. Krishna is there in his creation. Once there was a monk, and the monk was on his journey coming to a village of atheistic farmers. Everything is possible in the world, even atheistic farmers. And the atheistic farmers, they said, "Can you show, where is God? Can you show me God? What is the basis of your belief in God?" And the devotees, the monk said, "Simple, he's everywhere. That's the basis. Oh, he's everywhere. How is he everywhere in the nature?" "Oh," said the monk, "I am very thirsty. Let me first drink a glass of buttermilk, please. Then I will explain." So they brought, all right, they brought him a glass of buttermilk, and then they wanted to really challenge him. So the monk said, "Oh, you have brought me a glass of buttermilk, but where is the butter? It is called buttermilk, but where is the butter?" "Oh, Saduji, butter is inside the milk. Something is taken out, something is still inside. But I don't see the buttermilk. I don't want your buttermilk. It is not the real milk. I can't see the butter. It's called buttermilk. It should be." No, it's somehow inside there." If they would have been scientists, they would have said, "It is some fat is there in the milk, attaching itself to the milk molecules." Now, I'm not very sure if this is a correct explanation, but something scientific, and so on. "This is there in the milk." Buttermilk, also a little is left. They take a little butter out, but they can't take all the butter out. So this is a good... So the monk said, "Ha ha! Just like the butter's in the milk, but you can't see him. Lord, the Lord is present in its creation, but you can't see him. You must try to see him." And the atheists, they were thinking, "Oh, Saruji Maharaj has given an argument. He has given an argument now." I do not know what came out of their meeting, but I know the answer of the monk. So this is what a devotee in Krishna consciousness should learn. He or she, Hare Krishna, should try to see the Lord behind the curtain. Be a little inquisitive in your life. Try to find out how the Lord is in his creation, how the butter is in the milk. In the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there are a few very nice meditations. Oh, so many books here. There's an ocean of books and so small the tables. Please listen. "I am the super soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. You can meditate about Krishna as a super soul. Thank you very much. Then you can meditate. Oh, something very nice. Oh, Hari Bol. You are very creative. Then he says, of vibrations I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa. And of immovable things I am the Himalayas. Shrishtikata and myself have developed the habit to go into the Himalayan mountains. And we have noticed, you become a little bit conscious that Krishna is identical with this mountain range. Your move through the Himalayan mountains becomes a very Krishna conscious experience. My dear devotees, it is so mystical to stay in the Himalayan mountains, sit down on the ground, take your japamala, and chant and look at the mountains, thinking it is Krishna. Stava, stava, ranam, Himalaya, the Sanskrit. That he is this mountain. I have made almost mystical experiences. I've sat before the mountain and just said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. All of a sudden I saw how this mountain, Himalayan mountain, is just pure energy. It was, yes, there was still the form visible of the mountains, but it was an energetic form. The trees were slightly moving, and I prayed to the Lord, please take away the curtain and show yourself at the Himalayan mountains. It's a very nice meditation, a nature meditation. And there are many, many ways you can meditate. It's in the 10th canto, 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I cannot read all of this due to lack of time. You can also meditate about Krishna as the one who upholds the planets, who makes the planets float in the sky, in the vast sky. He's there in this cosmic airplane or UFO called the planet Earth and keeps it there. You can meditate. Ooh, I'm carried by the Lord. A very nice meditation. This is how you become a devotee, by becoming conscious of Krishna being there within everything. I remember a lecture of Srila Prabhupada's in Stockholm, where we had the Hare Krishna festival. Srila Prabhupada had instructed us to do festivals all over Germany first, and then also in other parts of Europe. And we were doing this and reporting him regularly, and he became so enthusiastic that he came to a few festivals which we had organized. I remember also we organized a festival for him in one Hotel Krasnopolsky or something in Amsterdam, and also in Stockholm. And he came just flying with an airplane to participate. Now in the Stockholm festival, there were many drinkers, vinos, social welfare people. It's easier to live on social welfare than to work in Sweden. If you live on social welfare, you actually get more money than if you work, and therefore there are a lot of drinkers. So Prabhupada knew maybe 1/5 of his audience were drinkers. And he said, he wanted to make them Krishna conscious. And he said, even if you are a drinker, and the person said, yes, that's us, you can also become Krishna conscious. Really? By thinking that the taste in the wine, that is Krishna. Does not mean that the devotees, you know, should meditate. You can meditate how the taste in the water is Krishna. Because we try to avoid the influence of the lower modes and so on. But Prabhupada was encouraging his audience to look at the nature with spiritualized eyes, with the eyes of knowledge, and see how the Lord was coming out of the nature. Another meditation on the Lord inside everything is when we meditate about Him as the Super Soul, the one who is present in everyone's heart and who gives knowledge and forgetfulness. There's a beautiful novel by the author Dostoevsky, who was very, very, as we say in ISKCON language, a very mental person. I mean, extremely thoughtful and very often very desperate and carried away by his moods. So he had contacts, because he had a troubled mind, with monks of the Stasen order. These are people who are not in any institution, not in the institution of the Orthodox Church, but they are freedom lovers, monks who very much concentrate in their spirituality on the presence of the Lord in the form of the mantra, Jesum Christum Kyrie Eleison, and also on the presence of the Lord within everything moving. They are like this. And he met one monk, and this monk had told him how he became a monk, by realizing the Super Soul in everyone. This is his story, an eye-opening story. This monk used to be a soldier and was very aggressive, like soldiers tend to be, who have to do a lot to do with violence. And he fell in love with a fiancée of an aristocrat. So one day there was a party of the aristocrat, and he looked at this beautiful lady and desired her so strongly that he made a plan to get her. The plan he did is very violent. He said to the aristocrat, "You are a woman hunter, you are a very bad character, you are very much afraid by nature, not even the shadow of a man," and so on. Now, the aristocrat became so angry at him that he challenged him to meet him on the duel place. The duel? Where you shoot at each other. It was forbidden at that time in the Russian society, because they lost so many officers and aristocrats by this Ahankara play. The aristocrats had an influence. It was what they were to meet each other within 1 week time in the forest, and they would shoot at each other. So I will make it a little short. That morning, our soldier was so tense that he was complaining to her servant, "Why have you not cleaned my shoes?" And he, "Today I'm going to meet my love or my death." Oh, the servant said, I didn't know that it's an important day. "You never know. You have no sensibility." And he was beating him up and until he was full of blood in his face. Because he could not do anything, servants in the Russian system are not allowed to speak up. It's different than in the Hare Krishna movement. Good. This impression of beating his servant out of sheer nervousness, that soldier went to the place in the forests. The conditions were set up. The condition was you are to take 25 steps, but short steps. So I think the distance was very, very close, like 30 meters. You can't miss. It's immediately blood which you draw with your bullets. It was a very short distance, so that they would soon get to see each other's blood and pain and misery. And by the system, you know, gambling, it was found out that the aristocrat had the first shot. So he pointed at the soldier, but he was so nervous that his hand was tottering and he missed. The next shot was with the soldier, and it was very easy for him to kill the aristocrat. He was a practiced killer. So he went with his pistol and he pointed it at the head of the aristocrat to kill him. And when he pointed it at the head of the aristocrat, he saw in the eyes of the aristocrat fear. He looked closer. All of a sudden, it seemed to him that the aristocrat was also a human being, like himself. And as he looked even closer, he understood that in the heart of this trembling, rich sense gratifier, the Lord was present. The Lord who was present everywhere, who was also somewhere present in his own bed and violent heart. And he became so happy by this. He began to cry. He threw away his pistol in the forest and it went. And he went with tears in his eyes to this trembling aristocrat. He bowed down, he kissed his feet and said, "Please forgive me. You are the residence of my Lord." The aristocrat went, "Oop, that bad boy was wrong now." "Please, brother aristocrat, can you forgive me? I did not know that you are the residence of my Lord." And this, the aristocrat said, it's all right. What do you want to do now?" "Well, I will give up this violent life and I will become a monk." "All right, good. But go away from this area and go somewhere else where I will never see you and you will never see me. And will not become possessive again of my fancy. Go and I forgive you, and there will be no death today, especially not my own." So this is some story which you will find in the world literature. There were many such stories. how people become God conscious by just understanding that the Lord is in the heart of someone else. This is a meditation, which is the first steps of God consciousness. We as Hare Krishna people should not think we only want the Vrindavan Krishna. We should understand how he's present in the nature and in the hearts of all. It's very, very important to train our God consciousness and to advance step by step. If we are too arrogant and too spiritual, we might never see the meet the Lord, because we have to go in steps. Another point which I wish to talk about, oh, this is already 20 minutes to 9. I have so much material. I will just make another short point. A good way to meditate about Krishna is to meditate in gratefulness how he takes care of us. I remember once a devotee told me, Sachinandan Swami, Krishna is my friend. I said, well, very good. How is he your friend? Well, he gives me prasadam. This time, when we came to Radhadesh, we came at 2 o'clock. And I want to tell you a secret. We were so hungry that we were almost beginning to eat our own pullovers. We were so hungry, just desperately in need. And then two devotees had stayed up to receive us, and one of these two devotees had cooked soup and chapatis. And we ate this soup and chapatis. We ate about 121 chapatis. We were so hungry. And finally, when we could think again, because we were so hungry, we said to this devotee, my dear devotee, you have bought us now. We will be your slaves for the rest of our lives. You have given us what we needed most at the time when we needed it most. You have given us something to fill our human existence with life again. And this is how a devotee, you know, this is a very natural feeling of thankfulness. Oh, someone took care of us when we needed it most. This is how we can meditate also about Krishna. Krishna takes care of us. He has brought us into Krishna consciousness. We may not still be fully self-realized, and we may still suffer a little bit, but our suffering is luxury suffering in comparison to the suffering of the poor conditioned souls who are not aware of Krishna, who have not the possibility to dance in kirtan, who have no possibility to talk about Krishna and feel the affectionate dealings of Vaishnavas and the deities. Our sufferings are luxury, really, in comparison to the hungry beggars, the frustrated non-devotees, the agitated, lusty people who never get what they want. Our sufferings are luxury. So a devotee can meditate about Krishna in gratefulness. You have given me this human form of life. You have given me some knowledge about you. Krishna says in the Gita, Ananyaschintayantumam yejana payupasate te shangnityabhiyoktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. When I arrived in Radhadesh, I thought, oh, this devotee is so nice, but the devotee has taken the grains and the whatever the soup was. It was a very good soup, but it was a very delicious refined soup. She has only taken it from what Krishna has given her. So our gratefulness goes to the devotee and to Krishna, who takes care of us. This very simple faith in Krishna, that he takes care of us, is so important. Only if you have this faith, Krishna will take care of you. Once Srivast, you know, this is now about situating yourself in life. Once Lord Chaitanya asked Srivast Thakur, you never work and you have such a family. You never work. This is not very good. You are not very nicely situated. Only reading Bhagavad Gita, only puja, only this. You're irresponsible, Grihastha. So many family members. Srivast Thakur said, oh my Lord, you have promised in the Bhagavad Gita that you take care of someone who worships you and who meditates about you. I have faith in this. Yes, but Srivast Thakur, sometimes nothing is there. Yes, my Lord, if we do not eat... Yes. And Srivast Thakur was saying, as an answer, Lord Chaitanya said, you have not answered my question. How you are taken care of? You just go, this is not an answer. What do you mean? Well, Srivast Thakur said, my dear Lord, if for one day you do not take care of us, then we fast and chant Hare Krishna. If for the second day you do not take care of us, we fast and chant Hare Krishna. If for the third day, 3 days, you do not give us, then we fast and chant Hare Krishna. But then, if you do not give us something, we go to the Ganga and we drown ourselves. Finished. It is your problem. Then you have broken your promise, and as a result, we are very sad. You are our only protector. This is Manu's relationship to Krishna. He has told us yesterday in confidence, Krishna is my protector. I think when you play, you need a lot of protection because it's so wild. Yes, Krishna is my protector. So yes, devotee feels like this. This doesn't mean that in modern ISKCON we shouldn't think how, as grihasthas, we should work. You know, but we should not forget Srivast Thakur's beautiful answer. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says, Lord Chaitanya was so moved by the faith of his dear devotee that even today, Mother Lakshmi, when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, Srivast Thakur, I promise, the day may come when Mother Lakshmi has no money any longer. It needs to go with a begging bowl. give me something. But there will never be a day when you have nothing. I will make arrangements. Yes. This is very nice. If we have Shraddha, the Lord will make arrangements. I remember a while ago, I read about one devotee who was so poor. He was preaching and he had no money. And one day a god brother of his came and he wanted to serve him, like it is traditionally done. When you get a guest, you have to feed him. You cannot not feed him. I remember Prabhupada was so strict on this principle. Every guest who came when he was in Germany, he had to eat prasadam. And sometimes Prabhupada would make sure that they would do it in front of his eyes. They would eat the gulab jams and they would explode with sweetness. And Prabhupada was very, very demanding. You must eat. It is very important. If you don't give a guest something to eat, it's very, very bad for you. Very bad. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya's, Vrindavan Das Thakur says that even to this day, every day some food is arriving before Srivas Thakur's doorsteps. And I'm a little tired, I lost my point. So this devotee had no money, but a god brother came and he wanted to feed him. And as a result, he was very, very sad. Then he saw a little sparrow coming. The devotee looked at the sparrow. The sparrow had something in its beak. The sparrow threw what he had in the beak before the devotee. And when the devotee opened the envelope, it were a few paisas, just enough to buy fruits for his godbrother guest. And he took care of him. So the devotee from this day on understood, Krishna is my protector. Krishna is my maintainer. He takes care of our needs. He does not fail his devotees. He sent that sparrow, brother sparrow, who brought the novats, the money. When Lord Chaitanya had seen the faith of his devotee, he became so obliged that he made an arrangement. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, every day, no one understands how, some food is brought. Means we should find every day, no one understands how, some food is brought. For us practically it means we should find as grihasthas something which is responsible and reasonable, where we can work and get some maintenance, because as grihasthas we are obliged to take care of this. But we should not go too much out of our way. If we are a little poor, so what? Let us do as devotees. Let us take care as devotees of our livelihood. And then Krishna will take care of us. We have this simple faith. Now, Srivas Thakur was very close to Lord Chaitanya, and therefore his family was very close. If you want to become close to God, you must become close to someone who is close to Krishna. In the ninth canto, there are beautiful verses about the King Rantideva, who was a pure devotee of the Lord. And it says that anyone who was connected to King Rantideva, he was also becoming free of Maya, and he was also becoming a pure devotee. This is our system. If we want to become close to Krishna, if we want to be in the family of Krishna, we must find a dear family member of Krishna, which is a pure, which is the pure devotee. In our movement for Krishna consciousness, we think very much of how the devotees, each devotee, can establish a relationship to Srila Prabhupada. And it's very, very important if we want to also come to the stage where the Lord is taking care of our needs. We need to come into the family of a pure devotee, who has the statue of who's a really elevated soul, like Srila Prabhupada. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna will take care of our needs. Krishna does not hear a devotee so much who is not close to another pure devotee, who is not close to a family member of him. Good. Yeah. I want to end my class this morning with a few shlokas on this. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart as the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within. When he is kind to some fortunate conditioned soul, he personally gives one lessons to progress in devotional service, instructing the person as the super soul within and the spiritual master without. Krishna comes in the heart and he gives a devotee some realization. I was telling you the story of Dostoevsky's personality, who in the midst of a duel got the mercy of Krishna, seeing the or understanding the super soul everywhere. But also Krishna is sending us into the vicinity of his dear devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and in this way we have a possibility to also become family members. So these are the three points which I wanted to make. Please let us train our eyes to see the Lord present everywhere in the nature as the cosmic form of the Lord, the Virat Rupa. Let us also see him as the super soul everywhere, and let us come close to him by becoming close to a relative of him, a pure devotee. Hare Krishna. These are, I have so many more. I have one more point for the note for the lecture, but I don't want to make it too full, so that we become. This is very important when you hear something, not too much, so that you can digest. Do you have any questions regarding this? Do you feel it is relevant to look for Krishna? Do you think you can improve on this? See him everywhere. This is a wonderful exercise. Here is a question also. Yes?
Yeah, I'm very happy with this, especially the last point you're making about being close to
someone who is close, yes.
Because yesterday you asked us, what is your relationship with Krishna?
Yeah.
And it's a very basic question, but a very confronting question I found yesterday. And when you asked the question, my mind was really more of the place, what is my relationship?
Good.
So much. But then I spoke with this devotee, and it was a nice conclusion that the relationship with Krishna in my present situation is that he sent such a nice pure devotee in the form of Sri Prabhupada, because Krishna is quite distant many times and Prabhupada came so close. And then of course we didn't, most of us didn't have the chance to come close to Prabhupada, but just by opening his books we actually are very close to Sri Prabhupada, and in this way also very close to Krishna. So it's nice how you end this presentation, coming close to Prabhupada in order to come close to Krishna.
To come close to Prabhupada is a very important thing, and we need to meditate how we can do this. In Germany we have talked a lot about a word, we have made a new word up, mystical connection. I wanted to say something which everyone has never heard. What it is vani, that we learn about, that we become, let me say, connected to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. I also feel it is important to come close to Prabhupada, to do some personal service to him. That opens the door to a closer relationship. Personal service in his preaching mission, in his book distribution mission, so on. Well, yesterday I was just so charmed. We were here, and these Belgian people were coming in, and I think it must be Ramananda Roy. Your name is Ramananda Roy. How he smilingly took care of them, put the cushions there, and they could see the deities. At that time, I looked at the deity of Srila Prabhupada, and I know Prabhupada a little bit. We stayed close to him, and I watched him always very careful how he would react. And in my in my eyes, I saw the deity on the Vyasa-san just looking very close to the people and looking if they looked at the deities and so on. Do you? And I remember when they came in and when they came out, they were standing in a row to get a cookie, isn't it? Ha ha ha! Very good. I know how Prabhupada would have. Oh, this was very important for Prabhupada that everyone got. I personally saw with my own eyes. There were, you know, these high-class Germans who were only it at home or at their five-star restaurant. And they came to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada forced them to eat. They could not eat. Because they say, yes, I eat outside a little bit. But Prabhupada knew they would never eat. You know, they would say, I'm full, and so on. So he made sure that right before his eyes, they had to eat. And Prabhupada was joking and encouraging to eat more. This is nothing for a grown-up man. This is how we become close to him. If we understand his ways, how he does things, and try to do it, even if it doesn't make sense for us. Even if we are so culturally conditioned, but doing something for him, his way, brings us very close. I'm very convinced of this. Good. Any other question? Sorry, this morning I'm so tired. I'm really fighting. Ramananda Roy, you have a question, please ask.
Yes, because generally we are. Influence also by the very activist nature of society we are living in the West.
Yeah.
So we tend to think that we meditate on things like on nature, it's a little bit waste of time. You want to work for Krishna, you want to do it, you also have the mood.
Yeah.
So maybe you can say something.
Yes. This, usually we are very active. And we want to work for Krishna, and we think meditating on Krishna is a waste of time. Can you say something about this? It is true that Srila Prabhupada encouraged us in the beginning to work a lot for Krishna. Because he knew that we are very restless, being fully influenced by the society which bred us. But it is very important that a devotee, after some time, begins to think about his mind. How he is advancing in Krishna consciousness, it means how he is advancing in his consciousness, in his mind. Devotee actually means the mind. There are actually two levels of bhakti. The first level is to engage body and speech in Krishna's service. And the second is to engage the mind. If you want to be active in the bhakti path, it's not sufficient to just engage the body and the speech. You must engage the mind. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives a very interesting and, I believe, logical example. If you do a yajna, the first steps are to make the arrangements, to bring the material, the sand, the stones, the different colored dyes, put them all over, firewood, and so on. This is the first step of arranging the yajna. But the second step is the fulfillment of the yajna. It is the fire and then the swaha, the offering of ghee into the mouth of Lord Vishnu. If you just arrange the yajna, but do not come to the swaha, then this is a waste of material and time even. So in the same way, if a devotee just engages his body and the speech, but not his mind in Krishna consciousness, it is a waste of the body and of the time. Devotee means the mind. See, there was once a pandit, he gave a lecture on the Ramayana, and he saw how one of the devotees was crying. So the pandit was very pleased. And this is the Indian situation. Oh, I'm lecturing very movingly. This devotee is just crying, and second day also cry. And then after the third, well, I'm not so good, you know, in producing rasa. So he called the devotee, said, it was a woman, why are you constantly crying? Are you moved very deeply by what I'm saying, by Lord Rama's activities? Or do you feel in the mood of Rama that, oh, Sita is gone? Are you therefore crying? Why are you crying? And the devotee said, yes, I'm crying. And I'm crying because when I see you, I remember my goat. She died 2 weeks ago, or he died 2 weeks ago. And he had the same attractive beard as you have. So yes, the woman was sitting in the lecture with the body, was participating in the lecture, but the mind was not there. And therefore it was not very, very fruitful, her presence. A little bit was there. She was in the good association of the Rama Katha, but devotee means the mind. Sometimes the Hare Krishna devotees are very much criticized. They are seen as very superficial transcendentalists, as people who are just very actively externally, but who are still very tense inside, not very kind even to each other, but full of politics amongst themselves, and they are criticized, these devotees, by spiritual people who ask, what's wrong with you? You have such a nice temple, you have such a nice everything, well, your literature is very, very elevated, what is wrong? And then we have to ask ourselves, maybe we forgot the mental culture, the insight. Because I know, yes, in Germany at least I know, we were just very, very active, and we would not read much Prabhupada's books, and we were very, and some deviations were even coming in. I remember some of our Anyways, I don't even want to tell you in a public class what we did, some deviations. Because we had not fixed our minds on Krishna, and we didn't know much about Krishna. It's very important to put our mind to Krishna. How often, Ramananda Roy Prabhu, are you thinking of Krishna? When you preach, how often do you think of Krishna? I saw once a devotee, he was in the Mangal Arati with a pair of cartels, ching, 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 and towards the end of the Mangal Arati, he was jumping, I believe, 23 centimeters above the ground. But when we looked at him, this devotee was sleeping. He could do everything on automatic pilot. He was practiced in the art of automatic pilot. And he was dreaming maybe of some nature walk or of his past and so on. Devotee means the mind. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry to be so intense on this point. What does Krishna say? What is his devotee? How does he start? Manmana. Oh, manas, the mind. Manmana bhava matpakto. Yes, correct. You know. Yes, we will have our maybe Dara Nidara, and I did not look towards the Mataji's. Maybe if you have a question, then we will end. Yes, Dara Nidara Prabhu.
Maharaj, many of us have had experiences of seeing Krishna, God, in nature.
Yes.
And also, when we read, write some verses, then we come together for lectures like this. But it seems that we have a tendency to forget, and also sometimes with doubt. I mean, when we have that experience, it seems like perhaps that's we have some Krishna consciousness then.
Yeah.
But then it goes away.
It goes away, yeah. I will have a part in my lecture series where I will encourage you to do four steps so that the realizations which you have will be held inside. But here I want to tell you, yes, we can practice. And when you see a nice sunset or sunrise, oh Krishna. Or if you see the moon, oh Krishna, that's one of his eyes. You can look right into the eyes of the universal form. And think of Krishna. We were Krishna devotees. We do not want to become Virat Rupa devotees. But we can understand Krishna is behind all this. Yes, we had some nice experience, but we can have them again if we look through the eyes of faith. These are very important eyes, Dara Nidara. The eyes of faith, or I can tell it even differently, the eyes of Shastra. I want to I have a section on this and I will talk later about it. Mataji, is there some question with you? Yes. You always have a question.
Is it possible in India, in Bhagavatam, it says that the ultimate universe, that world is imaginary?
Yes.
Is it also possible in spiritual life that there's certain aspects that you hear about in scripture that are more attractive to you than others? Like if I understand about the super soul and the presence and all the humanities, it's more subtle, and like you said, it's actually more elevated, but it's also somehow more attractive.
Yeah. The Virat Rupa is imaginary. A verse is quoted here at the end of this chapter, which I would like to read to you. One should concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations, just as ordinary persons create thousands of manifestations in dreams. This verse is taken by Sridhar Swami in Jiva Goswami and is explained. See, when a devotee sees nature, he doesn't just stop there, but he understands this nature is the nature of Krishna. Just like a person in dreams, a person may dream and dream up a whole thing. The dreams are illusory. They will go after some time, but the person will stay. So in the same way, this material nature is not really God. It's an energy of God. It's a dream of God. It's a manifestation. But, you know, now I'm living in the dream. Why shouldn't I begin to connect the dream with the dreamer, with Krishna? This is how a devotee in Krishna consciousness tries to see. He sees Krishna behind, dreaming it all up, so to say. He's a very creative dreamer. A very colorful dreamer. Yes, this verse, if you want to look it up and study it, it's a very important verse, because the Acharya's comment on this, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 39, there the relationship of the universal form to Krishna is given by the example of the dreams which are related to the dreamer. Yes. I hope I have answered your question properly. If not, we can talk more, but now it's 9:15. I want to thank you very, very much for attending this lecture, and I want to encourage those who want to come for the Japa workshop. We try to make it interesting. It's a little shocking in the beginning, but not too much. You please bring your japa mala, and you please bring a piece of paper and a working pen, because you will require this. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisidara Gopinath ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.